welcome to the University of Warwick, and congratulations on your honorary doctorate.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to ask you a few questions about your work. I think I'm going to start with the thing that you're most known for, your Nobel Prize. When you made the discovery of the virus, what was that sensation like when you made a discovery so important?
Well, it was not that much of a sensation, as you may imagine, but we worked for a period of more than 10 years on this question and eventually finally found those agents which at least cause a majority of cervical cancers. So in a way, it was a long way and path to get this. And at that stage, when we finally found it, it wasn't really a sensation. It was, of course, some kind of satisfaction that we eventually made our way in this direction as we postulated it initially.
As I mentioned, you were awarded a Nobel Prize for that. When you were conducting your research, did you ever think that you would receive such an honour?
I didn't think of the Nobel Prize, but what I did indeed was I hoped to clarify some risk factors for human cancer. And that indeed started my career, and even up to today, I'm working on the same questions. So the Nobel Prize was, of course, a pleasure to receive it. It was delightful. But it certainly didn't mean to stop my work and to feel a lot of satisfaction. In contrary, I feel that it's a stimulus to do more work.
Now, speaking as a woman myself, I know how important your discovery was. I've been reading recently that it's estimated in the UK alone, in just 1 year, 5,000 women's lives are saved because of having the tests for the virus. Do you ever get approached by people who say, thank you saved my life?
Yes, well, they don't thank me for saving their lives, but they thank me for developing the infectious agents, for finding the infectious agents which cause this type of cancer, and as a basis for the development of a vaccine in this case. Yes, I think that happens quite frequently. We really cannot say that we saved life at this stage because, you know, from the infection up to the development of cancer, usually something like 15 to 30 years elapse, and the vaccine was introduced in most countries, licensed in most countries, only in the year 2006. So we'll still have to wait for about 10 more years or so before we have statistically significant results that cancer is indeed prevented. But of course, since we see that the precursor lesions of cancer are prevented by this vaccine, we are very convinced that it will also prevent cancer, cervical cancer.
Talking about the topic of cancer research in general, what do you think are the next major hurdles that researchers are aiming for, that they hope to achieve?
Well, see, at the moment, a lot of progress is being made in treating cancer patients, particularly by immunological approaches, which is quite important. But on the other hand, what we see globally is that the incidence of cancer is steadily increasing. So mortality is only gradually decreasing. If you really wish to do something against cancer, we have to put more emphasis on preventive measurements, on prevention. And I think that is still underrated in the medical training of many of the universities in Europe and other parts of the world, because all the physicians are, of course, trained to treat the sick patients, which is important, there's no doubt about it. But on the other hand, we need to emphasize much more prevention. And I'm sure that we can do much more in this respect. First of all, in order to prevent precursor lesions, which frequently require already surgical interventions, but even more so to prevent the invasive cancer later on.
So do you think it's a case of communicating with people and trying to encourage them to change their lifestyles?
Well, it's to one degree a case of advocating prevention more for medical students and for the physicians, because many of them, I say it a little bit brutally, they do not care too much about prevention because they are trained for or treating patients. So we need to create some awareness, particularly in the medical profession, that prevention is very much important and needs to be emphasized. On the other hand, it's also, of course, task of the public health officers, the health ministries and so on, to put a lot of emphasis on prevention as well. If you look at into the costs of cancer treatment, they're enormous in general. And prevention is basically relatively cheap if we know the necessary modes of preventive measurements.
And here at the University of Warwick, we have a medical school. For anybody listening to this who's an aspiring medical researcher, do you have any words of advice for them?
Well, I don't have advice for them. They're not certainly very well themselves. But I'm sure that particularly this university, where you have people working quite actively in the field, for instance, of infections and cancer, specifically of Epstein-Barr's infections and cancer, I think there's a high awareness of those questions, among those people at least. And I guess it's, as I said before, it's a matter of advocacy to do more.
Are you optimistic for the future as regards cancer research?
I'm relatively optimistic. I mean, we will not experience in our lifetime, that's at least my view, that cancer will be totally eradicated. That's highly unlikely that it's going to happen. But what we probably will see, first of all, some improvements in cancer treatment, which will save many more patients' lives. And I hope, of course, very much that the population, even outside of Britain, Britain is really a front runner in at least some types of prevention in comparison to other European countries, that this example will also be followed in other countries in Europe and all over the world. I mean, I'm, of course, very much impressed by the progress which has been made in the prevention of virus-linked diseases. I'm thinking of hepatitis B virus vaccination, of high-risk papilloma virus vaccinations, and of the treatment of persistent virus infections, which also lead to cancer. And I think here a lot can be achieved in the future. Even if right now hepatitis B and the papilloma virus vaccination would be applied globally, we could calculate that between 12 and 15% of the female cancer incidence would be prevented. And I think we have a chance to prevent more in the future.
And finally, we have hundreds of graduands who will be graduating today. Do you have any advice for them?
It's a very difficult question to answer. Of course, if they wish to go into science, the advice is very simple. Try to develop or try to find the original theme. Try to work hard and persistently on the theme. And do not believe too much in medical dogmas, which exist everywhere. Because if you look carefully into them, many of them turn out to be not entirely correct. So maybe under those principles, many of the young people have a chance to work very successfully in science later on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.